Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is kuige iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Committed to starting a cleaning company that did things very differently. Lulu and Pal have both worked for different cleaning companies in Vancouver, very reputable ones, and faced the problems that you can imagine with those companies. And so we started with a conversation that was about what we would do differently. So we had a list, including fair pay, with the majority of the money going to the workers, the ones doing the actual labor. Collaborative governance. We knew we didn't want a boss. Equal shares for everyone if there was anything left over to share. And there was no one at the top taking away the profits in our vision. We didn't want to be working for anyone else. So the conversation really started with what we didn't want.
That's Haley Postlethwaite, who along with Paulina Mendoza and Lulu Hernandez are founders of what they call an ethical cleaning company without compromise. In this episode of Each for All the Cooperative Connection, we'll learn more about Vancouver's cleaning co-op and how it's disrupting the cleaning industry by providing high-quality professional cleaning, fair income distribution, and ethical employment. Thanks for joining us on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org. I'm your host, Sandy Goldman. In a wide-ranging discussion, Haley shares how the cooperative model became the right fit for implementing the founder's vision and who provided support along this journey. Have a listen.
When we learned that co-ops existed, we felt a lot of hope and inspiration that this idea that we had could turn into something viable without having to compromise on our values. And that's the exciting part, is that we dreamt something up, and we based on our shared values, and then we committed to it. And with a lot of trust in each other and encouragement and support from those around us, we went ahead. We hoped that TCC could support us financially one day, but then we dared to dream that it could support a lot of other women with better employment too. And now we're in our third year of operating, and we believe that we're a standout competitor in the cleaning industry in Vancouver as an ethical option for professional cleaning. And we employ 30 women now.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, for those of us who, you know, do not do this work, have had people come and do this work in our homes, in our workplaces, the lived experience of two of the founding members. What were their names again?
Paulina and Lulu.
Paulina and Lulu. And they're both from Mexico, are they?
That's correct.
Okay. So what did you, Haley, learn from them about what it was like to be a cleaner in Vancouver? What was going wrong? What did they want to do differently? What was their experience? Because that really features here and why you've struck out to do this in a much different way.
Yeah. I mean, that was like the aha moment, is I was managing an Airbnb for my landlord, And I had hired several companies. So I wasn't super impressed with the quality or the consistency. They weren't reliable. And then I hired a company that sent Lulu to clean the Airbnb, and her work was far superior. But I also struck a friendship with her and learned about some challenges that she was facing in Vancouver with housing. And the more we talked, the more that I was shocked that I was paying $150 for a clean, and she was receiving $30 for that, the
Oh,
time she
wow.
spent doing the work. And that was really a moment where I started thinking that we could do better. And that conversation was collaborative between Lulu and I, and then Pau as well. So it started there. There was just some major problems with how cleaning companies that they were working for were operating and treating their workers, and also the end results that the clients were getting. And Lulu, Pau, and I definitely all are passionate about cleaning and doing outstanding work. So that is also woven into our story.
Right. So the wages, but also the discrimination and the exploitation. Can you say a bit more about that? Because this is the quite the opposite that you've got in the cleaning co-op for your members and your worker owners.
Yeah, I think that it's safe to say most cleaning companies are profit driven. And when you're driven by profits, it affects your decision making. So it becomes how many paid hours can you squeeze into a day? How fast can the workers work? How little can you pay them so that your profit or your margin is bigger? Those decisions affect real people doing the work. That can look like how they get from job to job. Is it safe? Is it on transit? Is the travel time that you're giving them realistic? How, do they have to carry their own supplies? What are the weather conditions that they're traveling in? Do they feel dignified standing on the doorstep with a bag of supplies and wet after an hour's transit? These are things that I don't believe are considered most of the time in other cleaning companies, it seems, because we have a lot of women that have come to us after working for other companies. And the stories are all the same. They're delayed payments, sometimes no payment, unsafe situations. And really, it's just the owners of the companies or the companies are profit driven and are just pushing. And that pushing ends up falling on the worker doing the work, and probably the outcome of the work, because how are you supposed to do quality work if you're not feeling good, if you're not valued or you're tired? It just doesn't equate.
Right. Okay. So 3 years ago, the three of you got together and looked at a way to do this differently. Why did you pick the co-op model?
Well, we didn't know what a co-op was until until we were accepted in as a cohort through Solid State Community Industries in Surrey.
Excellent.
It was really excellent. What stood out for us was that our values could be woven into the fabric of our organization, not an afterthought to our business plan. Our values were our plan. So we knew that at the very core of our organization, we were an organization that prioritized people over profit. And as a co-op, we didn't need to compromise on that in the pursuit of growth and profitability. We aren't shy of profit, I should say. In fact, it's what keeps us going and motivated, is finding that balance where living wages can exist with a healthy margin. It's not easy, but we really believe in that work. We feel very fortunate to be doing this work, and we see money as a tool, because the more money we have, the more challenges we can overcome, and we can create more opportunities for women to have better employment in this industry.
And dignified employment.
Absolutely.
So solid state, you did you you take a number of courses through them, or they were there to guide you? Like you were novices in terms of the world of co-ops. Maybe you're co-op members elsewhere, but how exactly did they support you? And I'm asking you to share this for our listeners who may have great ideas, like the three of you, and are looking for ways to get their ideas off the ground.
There was a lot of hand-holding. A lot of the language went over our heads. Not only did two of three of us have English as a second language, but for myself, I was just in my second year of my business degree. I don't have a background of formal education. I hadn't worked in with co-ops before. We just didn't know what a co-op was, and a lot of the language can be overwhelming and as it's new. So I think that Solid State held our hand a lot through those early planning days, helping us to get incorporated and taking on a lot of the heavy lifting, like reading through a lot of paperwork or and explaining to us, what we needed to do to incorporate as a co-op, helping us with our website and branding, helping us to get some of our first strategic clients. It was just having somebody there to talk to and to guide us through the process. It wasn't a very formal process at the time, but it really helped to be surrounded with people that were encouraging us and telling us that, this was possible and to talk us through those hard moments.
And so now it's a few years later, and you've grown quite a bit. Tell us about the kind of cleaning services that you offer, and because I know there's quite a range, and one of them in particular is quite interesting. You have an arrangement with Moto, the car share co-op, but you've branched out quite a bit, and then we'll talk about how you're moving into something that is becoming more sustainable and profitable. So, what kind of services do you offer?
For services, we offer residential and commercial cleaning services. So that's the main bulk of our work. You might also see our teams cleaning roadside as we do clean for a Moto car share cooperative. We clean their fleet all throughout the Lower Mainland.
That's a nice association, is it? Because I've read that they've been very supportive. Another co-op, one of the values is co-ops supporting co-ops. So how has Modo, besides them being your client, what does that look like in terms of mutual support on your learning curve?
We're very fortunate. It was Aaron Sullivan at Moto. I went in to quote their office space to be cleaned. So it was our first commercial quote that I did on site. And I remember being extremely nervous and
Sure.
not knowing how to quote the space and just guessing and trying my best. So I went in and we end up having like a really authentic conversation. And Aaron posed a problem that Moto was having of getting X amount of cars cleaned, and kind of posed the question, like, would you clean cars? And I said,
Right.
like, of course. So we just figured it out from there. But I think that's the beauty of co-ops helping co-ops, is that there was no plan. It wasn't, it wasn't perfect. We figured it out together, and there's no way that we could have done that without their guidance and patience and like allowing us the time and space to figure it out.
Right. Wonderful support from them and a wonderful client going forward. And for people that use those cars as well, I'm sure they're in fabulous shape after the cleaning co-op has dealt with them. See, that's the kind of building of community that you're creating. I know it's one of your values to build community here. How else do you see that realized, both within the worker owners and others? Because having a sense of community that's not corporate, right? It's different. It aligns with your values. How is that growing over the last few years?
I think that quite simply, like, we care about our clients and about our team, about ourselves. We prioritize these relationships over profit. So we are always We can see this in our communications and policy. We respect each other and those who hire us, the work that we do for them, the spaces that we work in, we talk about as well, respecting them as our own. And we also talk about treating ourselves with respect. I think that fostering a culture of self-care and prioritizing relationships builds community, and it's reflected in us being able to lean on each other inside and outside of the co-op, and also being there for our clients. I think that by us being aligned in leadership and being vulnerable, that's where real connection happens. And I think that it means that we're all then on the same side, including our clients. We're all on the same
Right.
side. And then there's so much capacity to overcome challenges that way. Like, we're all working together.
I noticed that reflected in your outline of senior support. You're not just there to clean the home of the senior, you're there to build relationships and also, kind of notice, right? And observe and inform perhaps family members or others if things are amiss, because so many seniors are isolated. When the cleaning co-op member goes in, they could be one of very few visitors during the course of the week. So tell us a bit about that, because I see that as a great community builder.
That's true. I think that we care, and we don't know how not to care. We have cleaners who have dropped in on seniors for just to help, and they have asked us, like, please don't charge them for this. Like, I just wanted to stop by and help. We have a lot of stories like that, and without getting into all of the different individual stories, I can say that there's enough of them to show that it's more than us providing a service. Like, we have built a community of people that care, and whether it's me on the phone with the clients, or the client and the clients feeling comfortable to ask us, like, can you bring milk on your way?
Exactly.
Can you contact my family? These things happen, and as you can see, is like emotional
Of course.
journey, because that to us is what it's all about, and we're really honored to be doing this work and able to help where we can.
Yeah, for sure. As I said, so many seniors are isolated and maybe family isn't nearby, and so that's really wonderful. Now let's talk about your members. You said you had 30. Are there 30 worker owners, or just tell us about who are the worker owners, and then who are your other cleaners? Sort of, how does it work to become a worker owner, and what does that look like?
I think that this would be one of our challenges is we need to grow. We want to grow our member ownership, but as we had to, as we, the three of us, needed education on what is a co-op, that the same is said for the rest of the team who haven't been exposed to co-ops before. And as international students or newcomers to Canada, as a demographic that is, potentially marginalized and working to make ends meet, it's not, we see it as a bit of a luxury to be able to sit and learn about co-ops and what that can mean for them and for the community. Why would they want to be member owners, especially when there's financial barriers, language barriers, just knowledge in general about co-ops. So that's something that we're working on rolling out in a way that's accessible to everybody so that we can increase our membership. But it's not as easy as we originally thought, because there are some real barriers there. And but we're happy to be in a place where, now that can be more of our focus. We've overcome some hurdles financially, and we've stabilized a bit. And so now I think we can start to work on the juicy part of being a co-op and increasing our membership, in a way that people, it doesn't feel overwhelming, because even for us it was overwhelming at the beginning. And I know that we felt privileged to be sitting at Solid State and not cleaning on those days where we were having meetings. That was a privilege.
So right now you have 30, you call them members or employees, or is that the right number at this point?
We have 30 women in our cooperative. We call them members, and we're rolling out a pathway to member ownership. So we're all a team. We're all team members, and we're going to be working on increasing that member ownership this year. And hopefully, in the next year or two, we will have some profits that we can share amongst our member owners, which also hasn't been the case.
So you're going into your what into your fourth year
Yes, that's
at
right.
this point, and so that's one of your future goals, to increase your to obviously to have some profits, and also to keep it sustainable, and increase the number of, excuse me, worker owners. Have you had support from the CWCF, the Worker Co-op, Canadian Worker Co-op Federation?
Yep, we have. We definitely have participated in some of their courses, and we have been invited to some events, and they have been definitely an ally on our journey. I would say alongside Moto Car Share Cooperative, Solid State Community Industries, Community Savings is a big one, Slate Financial Advising, all of those have been supports for us.
And I see that your own marketing person, I'm sorry, I don't know her name, Hannah, is doing a mentorship event for the BC Co-op Association.
Yes, she did. It was brilliant. It
Oh,
was
it already happened.
yeah, I believe, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's wonderful. I have to say that your website in particular is exceptionally well done and very clear and very true to your values in everything that I'm reading there. So that's kudos to all of you there. What else do you want to tell me and tell our listeners about your co-op and your plans and how you feel about being part of this?
Yeah, I mean, it feels surreal to us. Our growth has it's been scary, and it also feels surreal that when we're just putting one foot in front of the other, taking one day at a time, and trying to do our best to ensure that the probability of things working out is in our favor. Our biggest challenge, as mentioned, is our margin. The cleaning industry market rates are influenced by companies that profit highly off of the undervalued and underpaid labor of workers. So that compresses what everyone can charge for cleaning work. So when we commit to paying a living wage, which is non-negotiable for us, we're competing against companies whose model depends on underpaying their workers. So that's a real tension. We have to be excellent at what we do and focus on building relationships with our clients through honest work and communications, and make the case that cleaning work is worth paying fairly for. It's hard, and it poses health hazards, and physical injury. But it's also exactly why TCC needs to exist. To provide an alternative for the workers in the cleaning industry and for the clients who want to hire ethically. So I think that those are, the challenges and the success. I mean, the three of us, the three founders, Lulu, Pao, and I, we have a very special connection, and we lean on each other inside and outside of work. Being able to be there for each other and for the women in our co-op feels like that's our biggest success, is those relationships. They're everything to us. Of course, we've all experienced hardship in our lives, or go through, some loss and, different life phases, and we're all there for each other. So I think that everything in those moments makes a lot of sense of what we're doing.
Absolutely. You're
And
building
second.
community, amongst each other and for each other. Before I let you go, what is some feedback you're getting from your members, the people who are doing the cleaning, who maybe experienced something very different before, as some of your founders did? What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, I think more work needs to be done to hear their voices more. But I think that that will come with trust and building confidence and being able to highlight that this can be dignified work and respectable work. I think that through some lenses or and in some areas, cleaning can be hold shame. And I think that there's a lot of work to be done moving away from that, because there aren't a lot of examples of cleaning work being something that can give you a good life, that can give you fair wages, and that you can be proud of, and that that can support you and make you feel proud of what you do. So I think that we're doing that work, but it's not something that will happen quickly. What we do hear from our workers are that they are appreciative of being in a safe environment, respected, prioritized, cared for, that they can lean on us when they need with whatever that might be. We have helped in situations that are nothing to do with paying our workers for cleaning,
Right.
like for the labor. So I think that through time, over time, that trust will build, and we will start to really show that cleaning can be dignified and fairly paid work. And then hopefully we can hear more from, from the whole team. But there are a lot of barriers when you're a newcomer coming to Canada,
Right.
not just language. And I think that we're just like slowly and gently like working on those.
It sounds wonderfully supportive for your members. And as you say, many new Canadians who've experienced something very different in their countries of origin around the work that they're doing and their own experiences as women. So there's a lot of healing that needs to go on. And all of that takes time. So we really commend you for, as I say, building that sense of community and safety and dignity. And we wish you all the best going forward, Haley. Thanks so much for joining us on Each for All today. And we'll check in with you again, hopefully in a year, and find out how you're doing. All
That'd
the
be
best to
wonderful.
everyone there. Absolutely. Take good care.
Thank you very much.
That was Haley Postlethwaite, a founding member of the cleaning co-op based in Vancouver. For more information about all the services this worker co-op has to offer, go to tccoop.ca. That's it for this edition of Each for All the Cooperative Connection. Thanks to my fellow cooperator, Joshua Peterman, for putting all the pieces together. I'm Sandy Goldman. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a cooperative week.